Thank you for joining us for our broadcast today. My name is Ben Bailey.
I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day, for night comes when no man works. John chapter 9 and verse 4. Welcome to our study of the Gospel of John. Jesus here identifies the Christian mindset as a citizen in the kingdom of God. How should I be laboring? How should I be working? What's my overall mindset? Jesus said, you've got to take advantage of now. You've got to work the works of God while it is day, and day is representative of light, of the ability to see, of opportunity. For night comes, there's going to be a period when we're not able to work after this life, and so now is the opportunity to be working and to be busy in the kingdom of God. One of the things that John tries to impress upon the minds of those who want to be followers of Christ is that Jesus was active, Jesus was busy doing the Father's will. He gave everything he had so that we could have the hope of eternal life and freedom from sin. And as followers of Christ, we also must be busy accomplishing the goals that God has set before us. The kingdom in Matthew chapter 20 is likened unto a vineyard. What's a vineyard? A vineyard, for the practical purposes Jesus used it, is a place of work where fruit is produced to God. What a perfect picture of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The kingdom, the vineyard, is a church of work where we bear spiritual fruit to God. Am I to be a worker in that vineyard, in that kingdom? Absolutely. Christians often sing the beautiful hymn, I want to be a worker for the Lord. And that goes right along with the teaching of the Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 says, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. We are workers. God's not called us to be pew potatoes. God's not called us to fill a seat in some auditorium. God has called us to get out of the community and work. Are we saying worship's not important? Not at all. But worship, although a vital part of serving God and of glorifying Him, is not the only thing the Christian life is about. I also have to be busy being about the Father's business. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 49, when Jesus departed from his family during the time of the census, and he's with the scribes and the Pharisees teaching them, and his parents come to him and they say, well, where have you been, in essence? And Jesus said, did you not know I must be about my Father's business? That's the mindset of every child of God. Now's the opportunity. Now's the time. Let's make the most of it and serve God to the best of our ability in every way that we can. Well, why should Christians be busy about the Father's will? Here's why. Because this is the opportunity we have to walk through that door that God has opened and to serve Him with the best of our ability. I want you to think about some of the I am statements of Jesus. Two are identified in John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus said, I am the door. If anyone enters and out, enters by me, he'll be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The idea of pasture is green pasture. You're going to find blessings more than we'll ever know. But notice Jesus said, I am the door. You've got to go in by me. This is the opportunity we have right now. This is our one chance, our one shot to enter in by God's way of salvation and to come and part of the richest blessings you could ever imagine. Don't miss out on that opportunity. You know, the symbol of a door is something that is a symbol of access. It's a symbol of entrance. If you want to get in the house, what do you got to do? You've got to unlock the door, and you've got to go through it. It's the only way in. It's the safe way. It's the main way. It's the natural way to get inside the home where safety, where blessings, where comfort, where warmth, where food is. Well, Jesus is the door spiritually for Christians. You cannot get into the house of God, the family of God, the safety of God, the blessings of God, without going through Jesus, the door into the house. Well, how do you go through that door? You've got to do what Jesus says. If He's the door, you've got to gain entrance by whatever way He says. And Jesus has made it abundantly clear, He's the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. To go through the door, to access the key to give entrance into the kingdom, I've got to obey Jesus and do exactly what he says, which we're going to mention some of that in just a moment. But I want you to notice also what Jesus says in John chapter 10 and verse 14. Not only does Jesus say, I'm the door, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And I know my sheep and am known by my own. Not only will you receive entrance in, you'll receive the greatest guidance and the best protection you could ever imagine. What's a good shepherd? Well, we're not as familiar with the idea of shepherding maybe as they were during that time period, but shepherding was a way of life. It was part of people's existence. It was the way they made a living sometimes. It was part of the way they fed their family. It was part of their lifestyle. And a good shepherd, rather than a rogue shepherd, one who didn't care about his sheep, one who was only in it for the money, a good shepherd actually cared for his sheep. They were like part of the family. They knew their survival depended upon what those sheep could provide. Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. You follow me, I'll lead you to green pastures. You follow me and I'll lead you to rivers of flowing water. You follow me and I'll lead you through the valley of the shadow of death. As the psalmist, we can say, my cup runs over. You anoint my head with oil. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23, verses 5 following. And so the idea of Jesus being the door and the good shepherd, friend, that makes me want to be a part of the family of God. More than anything, I want to walk through that door. I want to find that food. I want to find that safety. I want to find that comfort. And I want Jesus to lead me, ultimately, to heaven itself. In Revelation chapter 14, there's a beautiful picture of the redeemed of all the ages. And the question is asked, who are these people? These are they who followed the Lamb wheresoever he went. If we're going to make it to heaven, you've got to follow the Good Shepherd, the Lamb of God, John 1:29, who was slain before the foundations of the earth, Revelation chapter 5, and you've got to be willing to submit to Him and walk through the door that Jesus has made available. And here's what can be promised you. In John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, there is a great promise made that goes hand in hand with the idea of the door and the shepherd. And here's one of those great blessings you can receive by walking through that door. Jesus said in John 11, verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Jesus said, do you believe this? What a powerful statement. In the long ago, the question was asked by Job in Job 14:14. If a man dies, shall he live again? There is a long span between Job asking that question and Jesus answering it. And Jesus says with a resounding yes, I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, in essence, Jesus says, you'll never really die. You talk about hope and joy. There it is. What is the one thing people fear most in this life? Is it not death and sickness and all the things that go along with that? Of old, people have been looking for that fountain of youth, fountain of life, and it's been here all along. Jesus is that fountain of life. Jesus is the one who conquered death. Hebrews 2 verse 14 says, he, through death, overcame him by the power of death, so that he could release those who would all their lifetime had been in fear of bondage to death. We don't have to fear death anymore. Why? Because the Good Shepherd has conquered the greatest enemy, the greatest foe, Satan, and he has also conquered death. Death, where is your sting? Death, where is your victory? The sting of sin is death. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 55 through 57. And so we need to know today that there is something beyond this life. When you die, that's not the end. Jesus said in John 5, verse 28 and 29, all who are in the graves will one day come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of death. If we've done well, 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 17 says, when the Lord comes, we'll meet Him and the saints of old in the air. If we've not done well, it is promised to us there is a place where the worm never dies and the fire is not quenched. That place is called hell, and people who do not go in through the door, people who do not follow the Good Shepherd, will not have the hope of eternal life. They will be resurrected unto eternal separation. More than anything, God wants you to go to heaven. We want you to go to heaven. We want you to know today that God loves you so much that He sent His only Son so that you could have the hope of eternal life. John 3:16. God is not an angry and vindictive God. God is a loving and beneficial God. Yes, God gets angry. Yes, God hates sin. Psalm 7 verse 4. Yes, God will punish those who do not obey His will, but God doesn't want to, and He's made it possible for everyone to be saved. Here's the God we're talking about. God wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 4. God's not slow concerning His long-suffering, as some count slowness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants everybody to be saved. Through the Lord's mercies we're not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness, O Lord. Lamentations 3, verses 21 and 22. And so the God of heaven is a God who is pleading with you, walk through that door. Who is pleading with you, step in line behind the Good Shepherd. And who is promising you the hope of eternal life, the resurrection to eternal life after this life. You'll have a changed body. Philippians 3 verses 20 and 21. Do we understand all of that? Don't even begin to. But we know it's true. You'll have hope in heaven. You'll be there for all eternity in that wonderful place of rest. Hebrews 4 and verse 9. And above all else, the heartache, the sin, the suffering that we now face will not exist anymore. Revelation 21 and verse 4. Have you walked through that door, friend? Have you got in line behind the Good Shepherd? Are you sure, if it all comes down to the final moment today, are you sure that you're a part of the resurrection of eternal life? Life is brief. James 4:14 says, "What is your life? It's but a vapor that appears for a little while, then it vanishes away." We're promised 70, maybe 80 years if we're lucky. Psalm 90 verses 10 through 12. Jesus said that we need not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Sufficient for the day is the trouble therein. And Job said in Job 14:1, "Man who is born of woman is a few days. This is all you've got. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation." In view of the fact that Jesus can lead you to heaven, that you can go through the door to become a part of God's family, you can have the hope of eternal life. Won't you think seriously today about obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ? In Acts chapter 18, verse 8, the Bible says, "Many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized." Have you heard the word of God? Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Do you believe? Are you convicted that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man comes to the Father except by Him? John chapter 14, verse 6. Would you be willing to change your life? Luke chapter 13, verse 3, and repent of sin. Would you make that good confession, just as the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts chapter 8? "I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God." Acts chapter 8, verse 35 through 39. And would you submit to God's plan concerning baptism? Saul was told, "Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." We're pleading with you today. Don't wait another moment. If you won't obey the gospel and you've never done that, at the Central Church of Christ, we want to help you. Contact us. Let us know, and we'll be glad to sit down and study with you, only because we want you to go to heaven and to have the hope of eternal life. If you've never done that, we're begging you today, submit to God's will. Obey the gospel. Go through that door. Follow the Good Shepherd who will lead you to eternal life.